Victory or death!
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 Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon, the voice of freedom behind enemy lines here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, trying to equip you, the Patriots, with the information you need in the fight to preserve your liberty here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I'm going to talk about a few different things, and I'm kind of going to jump right into it. But I wanted to tell you how you can listen if you just stumbled across this. Podbean is where I upload these, but it's also available on Stitcher and Apple Podcasts and a bunch of other places. And how you can find out more about the show is just go to RadioFreeVirginia.com, RadioFreeVirginia.com, and you can learn more there about what we're doing. You can listen there. But the best way that I've found is to use an app like Podbean or Stitcher. And if you subscribe to the show, which I would encourage you to do, you can get updates when new shows are posted, and I do that about once a week. Pretty consistently. This is episode 21-20, the 20th episode of 2021. So I want to talk a little bit about the COVID-19 with the whole mask mandate changing and all this weirdness going on right now. Nobody knows what's what. Everyone's thinking, well, do I have to just lie and say I'm vaccinated? Well, my attitude would be yes, if that's what you need to do, because they're lying to you and saying that this is a real thing. So why not? But one of the frustrations I have is I walk around and I see a lot less people wearing masks, which is great. But those people are essentially still complying because in their minds, well, I'm allowed to not wear a mask now because X, Y, and Z. Instead of like most of you that are probably listening now that just refuse to wear them, who have been going about your lives as a free person. So they haven't really, they're not really pushing back. The people that you see, oh, they're not wearing masks, great. It used to be kind of nice. You'd see another person not wearing a mask and you'd think, well, there's another free man or free woman over there. Look good, good for them. But that's changing. Now we're starting to not know who's who. Makes it a little harder, but hey, better than nothing, I guess. So what I have here is smuggled audio from a meeting with the Department of Agriculture, and what they've done is they've brought in David Fauci and the CDC to consult on the best way to get crops to grow better. So let's have a listen.
For the last time, I'm pretty sure what's killing the crops is this Brondo stuff.
But Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that you want us to put water on the crops?
Yes.
Water. Like out the toilet?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of the toilet, but yeah, that's the idea.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
Okay, look. The plants aren't growing, so I'm pretty sure that the Brondo's not working. Now, I'm no botanist, but I do know that if you put water on plants, they grow.
Well, I've never seen no plants grow out of no toilet.
Hey, that's good. You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Yeah.
Why don't we just try it, okay? And not worry about what plants crave.
Brondo's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know?
It's what they use to make Brondo.
Yeah, but why do they use them to make Brondo?
Because Brondo's got electrolytes.
Well, there you have it. As you can see, the smartest people are obviously in charge of everything. They're in charge of the CDC. They're in charge of the Department of Agriculture and making sure that the plants get what plants crave. That's really a clip from this movie, Idiocracy. And that's what we have. We have an idiocracy. We have an idiot in the White House, and we have an idiocracy. And that's what happens when you put the stupidest people in the room in charge of things, as we have here in Virginia. And so we've got the lockdown ending in some fashion or another for now until some new thing comes along. But I mean, that's what we have. And because he can't push further, he's lifting different mandates and different things. And things are somewhat going back to normal. You might have to get on Photoshop and print up your fake vaccine passport, or just live as an unvaxxed, just a heretic that doesn't want to get the jab. No jab for me. Well, Idaho and all kinds of other states who are still under this oppressive stuff, they're finally pushing back. So Idaho's got a big event. It was happening this weekend. We'll see how that went. I'm sure if you listen to Radio Free Redoubt, you'll find out. But they had a big mask burning event trying to encourage others to do the same. Sounds great. Good. Push back. Because pushing back seems to be the only thing that anybody understands. You just got to apparently scream and get in people's face. You got to be a Karen or a Ken. Either way, you have to get in people's face, and that's the only thing that they seem to understand. Whether they're politicians or anybody else, nobody does their job, and that's just what you got to do to get stuff done now. So, good luck. So next I want to talk about the things that I'd like to see happening on the show here. Now that the I Led Three Lives book is done, and I'm going to get to some follow-up on that in a second here, but what do you want to see on the show? You're the listeners. You like the show. I know you comment and you tell me, hey, this is good and I like this, but what do you want to see? Well, I could find another book to talk about, or books, sections of books. I could, there's a limit during non-political season here in Virginia what to talk about that's Virginia related, but I want to give you guys and gals the information you need in the fight for liberty. So what do you want to do? Hey, maybe you have an expertise in a area of interest in the fight against communists that you'd like to talk about, or maybe you know somebody that would be a good fit for an interview on the show. Well, let's set that up. I don't have to come to them. They don't have to come to me. We could do it over the phone. If they're local to Central Virginia, I could make that happen face to face. But either way, I would really like to incorporate more interviews, whether that's with politicians or liberty-minded activists or whatever. But that's really what I'm working on doing and pushing forward with in the weeks and months to come. Next update is the merch store is finally live and what I think is working. I haven't had a lot of opportunity to physically test it, but everything functionally is there. So if you'd like, I have a shirt design that's there and you can go to radiofreevirginia.com and click on the tab that says show merch and you'll see the one shirt. Now I've got a whole bunch of others that I'm working on designing, but this one is up. You can get it in white, black, and gray, or rather I should say white, black, or gray, or all of the above, if that's what you want to do. You want all three colors, but you can get that and it says, you were not made to fit in, you were born to stand out. And it says Jim Caviezel, because that's who said that. So if you'd like that shirt, that's the first one that's up. Go check that out. Support the show. I get a little bit of that. And then you get to have a cool shirt. So I'll be working on that. I'll be working on all kinds of other cool things that you might like. So I'll tell you more about those. When they're up, I'll be announcing new shirts and new mugs and new whatever stuff that you might like to order. But would love to have your support. Now let's talk about sponsorship. Well, first off, this show is sponsored by Act of Care of the Blue Ridge, ACTICARE.com/blue-ridge. Act of Care is in-home senior care for your loved one when you can't be there. If you live in the Smith Mountain Lake, Roanoke, Bedford, Campbell, Lynchburg area, out in the country maybe, give them a call, get in touch with them. ACTICARE.com/blue-ridge, and I know they'll take good care of you. And if you have a small business and you're in Virginia and you'd like to tell others about it, others with like mind, get in touch with me over at radiofreevirginia.com and I will see what I can do to plug you into the advertising loop. I had a great opportunity to go fishing this Saturday. I actually got out on Friday. The original plan was to go Friday and Saturday. Organize this with a bunch of guys. And Friday didn't work out because camping didn't work out. But my buddy, who was only able to go on Friday, we went and we grabbed his canoe and we went down the James River. We tried to do some fishing. That didn't work out so great. But we had a great time, about 3 hours on the river. It was a lot of fun. Then we went over to Sandy River Reservoir over near Farmville and tried to do some catfishing on Saturday. Was out there with two of my good friends and didn't catch a single catfish. Didn't even get a bite, actually. Did catch some little fish that we tried to use as bait. That didn't work either. My advice, I guess, if you're going to go fishing, bring a boat, because they're not by the shore. At least the ones we were looking for were not by the shore. That didn't work out so well, but we had a good time sitting by the shore and talking about stuff, life, and everything else. So that was fun. I hope you're enjoying this time of year. It's getting warm and the swimming pools are opening up, and it's a beautiful time of year to live in Virginia. I don't know about you, I have noticed that we did not get much rain this year. And I know we need rain, farmers need rain, and there are lots of reasons why we need rain, but we didn't get any. And usually about, I don't know, between May and June, we get this monsoon that comes in for about 3 weeks straight that just dumps rain on us. We didn't have that this year. So be interesting to see. I know there's a lot of groundwater in Virginia. We're probably okay there, but we need water. So pray for rain. That's a band name from the Christian music world. And now I want to share with you and encourage you to go check out the Babylon Bee and the stuff that they're doing on YouTube is quite hilarious. And here is just one example.
Fellas, it's time we made a comeback. Racism is hot. We practically invented it. So here's the plan. First, we'll start pushing for some segregated drinking fountains.
Actually, this might sound weird, but that's not racist anymore.
Come again now.
Segregation isn't racist. Can you believe that? But there are all kinds of new ways to be racist.
Curiosity.
Well, okay, Glenn, let's hear it then.
Next time you see an African American, you tell him this. You don't see color at all.
That sounds not racist.
It's racist now. Can you believe that? We can be racist and congenial all at the same time.
I'm not so sure.
Wait, I got more. If you see a person of Japanese descent, you mispronounce his name.
So you're saying the next time I talk to Takahashi down the street...
Skip over that H, make it silent, bing, bang, boom, racism.
This ain't a racism. What happened to good old-fashioned hating people? The hating was the best part.
It's exhausting. Now, we just say all lives matter and we're racist.
But all lives don't matter.
I know that. You know that, but if we want to compete in this new racist landscape, we gotta get with the times.
What about thinking the most qualified person for a job is a person who should be hired?
Big time racism.
What if I ask a black person to be quiet?
Racism.
Even though I work at the library?
Still racism.
Okay, what if I ask someone who is not white where they originally came from?
We got ourselves a regular David Duke over here.
What about wearing a Hawaiian shirt?
Well, hey, sis.
Voicing a minority character on a hit animated TV show?
Dick Heil.
Fall in love with an African-American woman? Have a long, fruitful marriage?
And you're still white in that scenario?
Yes, sir, just like Bill Burr.
Racist!
These ideas are A-OK.
That's racist, too!
What?
Doing this with your hand. If you do this, you're racist.
A-OK! A-OK! A-OK!
And Alpha! You are diluting my racism, and I don't like it. Racism is hatred. It's looking down on someone as subhuman, simply on account of the color of their skin. You water it down like that, it becomes nothing. I mean, if everything is racist, nothing is.
Have you guys heard about critical race theory?
Dang,
get this. We don't have to do anything to be racist. CRT says we're racist simply because we're white. That's all it takes.
CRT.
There's no racism. It's pure laziness. Plain and simple. And I reject it. This here's for the black students, and this here is for the white students. Why? Because I'm racist. Come at me.
Very forward thinking. I love this.
Oh, come on. Dynamic.
And I've been watching a whole bunch of these. That was an actual animated thing that they did, but they're doing all kinds of others. It is kind of like the Onion News Network, but they're taking it to a whole nother level, and it's quite funny. I love the line where the guy says, one of the best things I love about racism is the hate. And he says, it's exhausting. it's good stuff. You should go check out their YouTube channel. I'll post a link in the show notes, which you can find at RadioFreeVirginia.com, and you'll have a good time enjoying and laughing about the state of the global affairs that are going on. I promised in my last show that I would give you an update on the candidate stuff with the GOP and how all that all shook out. And I was surprised at one of the things. I had no idea how the lieutenant governor was going to go, who would be chosen for that. There were a couple in there that I liked, she is one of them. Winsome Sears won the nomination for a Republican lieutenant governor. And she is a black woman, solid conservative. She's got campaign photos all over Virginia Beach holding a rifle, an AR-15. Awesome. And so she is the lieutenant governor candidate. Glenn Youngkin, who won the nomination for governor, I was actually surprised about that. And a buddy of mine said Northern Virginia. So I said, okay, well, that explains it. But I expected Pete Snyder to win. Frankly, I didn't have a dog in this fight in regards to the governor. I'm of the opinion that I will vote for a steaming pile of dog poo if it means that dog poo is not a Democrat. I don't care at this point. I just don't care. I want somebody other than those idiot buffoons who have been destroying the Commonwealth for, quite some time now. And so that's my viewpoint when it comes to this next election. I don't care. Not the Democrats. That's who I'm voting for. Unless I see a guy holding a pitchfork and he has got horns and a little tail, then I'm voting for him or her. Don't care. But I'll continue to update. I guess there are things that might make me think twice about that. But ultimately, this is going to be a tough race. You know, Terry McAuliffe has a lot of money. He's been governor before. He's got name recognition. So it's going to be a tough race. It'll come down to what Virginians, how fed up Virginians are with the way things have been going. And I'm not so sure that they're that fed up. You got help wanted signs everywhere. So obviously lazy fat butts are able to sit at home and not, you know, actually work their jobs. So that's kind of nice, not having to go to work. You know, got lots of mass compliance on the mask thing. So, hey, I don't know how it'll go, but finally, for Attorney General, I was not surprised about this because he ran a great campaign. He really got out there. Is Jason Miaris. He was interviewed on the show. You can go check that out about his 4 episodes back, which was 2116, I think. But you can go look back on the shows. You'll see it in the show notes and in the title. But solid guy, solid campaigner, raised by a woman who escaped communism, which to me is awesome. The reason I think he won, because he was willing to talk to people and work with people and go on shows like this one. You know, we've got a decent amount of people listen to the show, but is that really worth somebody's time? Let me put it this way. I emailed over 6 different candidates across the different races that were running, and nobody except him responded. So I think he's got a lot of endorsements from both sides of the Republican aisle. And when I say that, I mean there are lefties and communists and all kinds of other stooges and idiots in the Republican Party. But he's got a lot of endorsements from solid conservative guys. One of them would be Nick Freitas. So that'll be really good to have some solid candidates, and it'll be an interesting race. But the question is, can we trust the integrity of our elections? I don't think we can at the moment. So unless some massive changes can take place, and working on getting you some data there, but until that happens, can you trust that the election wasn't stolen. I don't think Nick Freitas lost the race. And that's just one guy that I'm aware of. And so I wonder how many others that were all real close that you went to bed and then suddenly woke up and that candidate was no longer winning. So we'll see. I don't know. Next, I'm going to share with you an interview, and it's quite a long interview, so I'm going to encourage you to go listen to the whole thing. It's really interesting. Of the Polish pastor who lives in Canada, who was, some of you have seen the video, screaming at these fascists that were coming in to cite him and take pictures and count his congregation and all this other stuff. A really good interview, and the reason I want to share it with you is because the fascism that they're experiencing up in Canada is coming to America. And if we don't stop it, what he has experienced will be what we are experiencing. The good news at the moment for us is we have guns. So we got that going for us. Take a listen.
You recently made the news for your dramatic arrest in the middle of a highway as if you were like a terrorist or a drug lord or something, right? And I do want to get to that, but you rewound, and I like that because I want to talk about the entire saga. For about 15 months, right, essentially church services in your area have been banned by the fiat of the government. What's that been like? You've had the police showing up, what, routinely to give you tickets?
Yes, I got, you know, I got total over 300 tickets. In the last year, I got 29 tickets. And like I said, it started in March when the government sent me a letter and saying that they cannot longer feed the poor. That's against the law. And let's just tell your listeners what we are doing. What we're doing is we are feeding the homeless people. People that are living under the bridges in bushes. Those are people that don't go to shelters. For all kinds of different reasons, because of abuse of substance or because of violence, because they're hiding from authorities. Half of the most wanted people in Canada are at Street Church. That's the name of the organization we started. So we are feeding the people that no one else wants to feed. No one else wants to have anything to do with them. Also, the government of Canada shut down the mental institutions. So half of our clients are mentally challenged and they don't comprehend what's going on. They don't understand and they snap at people and they bring trauma from shelters. So we are their only place where they can get the necessities of life. However, we have a Muslim homosexual mayor and he doesn't care. He got his fat big salary. The first thing he did when he was elected the mayor, he gave himself a raise to be the highest paid mayor in the whole country. So it's total insanity. The level of corruption is shocking. Yeah. At every corner, the government is so corrupted and they're stealing, robbing, cheating, raising taxes and blowing our money away. And they do not care about the homeless people. Homelessness is a big fat business for most of the people, where about $230 million are being washed because they are acting like mafia every single year. So that gives you an idea. We're talking about two major cities, $230 million every single year is going somewhere to the politicians and to the corrupted people that are saying they're helping the poor, okay?
Right. In quote.
So anyway, I was very active in speaking, exposing the corruption, the hypocrisy, and the lie of the government is huge corruption. And of course, naturally, I became a number one enemy of the state, if you will. And the media started to write stories about me and accuse me of being a white supremacist and racist. Naturally. And even though, of course, I feed half of my clients are Native Americans, so colored people. Half of our church are colored people, Asians from China. We have Native Americans. We have people from Africa. We have Jamaicans. You know, it doesn't matter. The church is open for everyone. If you want to come and listen, you're welcome to come and listen. I don't see people because of the color of the skin. I see them because of the blood of Jesus. But those villains, those BLM and Antifa, you know, brown shirts of Adolf Hitler, they don't care about that. They care only about the propaganda that they are trying to give to the people. They're violent, they're hateful, they have an agenda. So, fast forward, we have authorities coming to our church and we receive ticket after ticket after ticket. We had police videotaping, taking pictures, intimidating our parishioners, harassing our volunteers, and sometimes the numbers of officers were was bigger than the number of clients. So that gives you an idea of the insanity of what we have been facing. So that's on the streets. I run two churches. I'm a pastor of two churches. One is on the streets where we feed the homeless people. Another one is where I teach. I teach history, I teach theology, and that's the building. We are meeting every Saturday because we are on the streets Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and we are Saturday morning inside the building. On the way home, however, the anti-terrorists were waiting for us, and they stopped us in the middle of the highway, a busy highway, and they declared that I'm under arrest. And for the ride, they took my brother as well. I mean, think about it. This is what Kenny said, the premier of Alberta. I will crush Pavlovskis. So the crime of my brother was that he's my brother. I was the one that was guilty of opening church. I was the one that was guilty of officiating the church service. So if you want to crack on someone, crack on me. I'm the guilty one, according to your illegal law. However, they wanted to hurt the family, not just me, but also my brother and anyone else that they could find. So me and my brother, we got arrested, manhandled, tortured. Like literally, we were tortured in prison. We were deprived of being able to sleep for 2 nights and 2 days. They put shackles on our feet like terrorists. It was insanity. It was absolutely insanity.
When you were arrested, you know, so we're back on the highway and they put you inside of the vehicle. And if I'm not mistaken, they over-tightened the handcuffs to actually cause bruising. Is that right?
What they did, they shoved me into a police van on my back. So the way they are arresting people right now is they put the handcuffs behind your back. But they have a way of twisting one of your hands in such a way that causes enormous pain. So they did that to me, and I'm my hands are behind my back, and I'm being shoved backwards. So my head is down, my back is down, my hands are behind my back, and they shoved me down to the police van. However, I'm not a small guy, okay?
Right.
My brother is even bigger than me. So we're not tiny, little guys, and I just did not fit into that little box.
So mystery charges, and they arrested you on the basis of like this mystery court order. I mean, it just sounds so very like communistic, you know?
Identical. They go to court, they get a judge that signs an order without our lawyer's presence, without us being able to defend ourselves. And then they're giving me order that was never given to me. And then now I'm charged with the order that was never presented to me. And off I go with my brother David, him for the ride, just to put pressure on me all the way to the police. So we end up, I was charged with two things, one criminal offense and one a contempt of court order. The criminal offense was later dropped. So to this day, I don't know what I was really charged with. I don't know what this criminal offense was. I'm going to find out because we are going to demand all the video footage from the officers, from the SWAT team. So we were taken to the police and right away, we said, oh, we are in trouble. They treated us like Gestapo. We were searched. We were put in a solitary confinement. We were not allowed to sleep. Every half hour, officer came and banged on our door. And there was a bright light like you can't even imagine. It's like sun in your cell. You put your hand up and just to try to cover your face and your eyes from this bright sun. Those lights, and you have a trouble even with your hands covering your eyes. Also, another method that they used, and the communist KGB was using this quite often, deprivation of sleep and also a concrete. When you put someone without ability for that person to sit properly on something softer, you can survive about an hour, two, and it's not a big deal. You try to lay on your back, then on your belly, then on one side, another. So a few hours is not that big of a deal. However, about 10 hours later, every bone of your body is in pain. I mean, literally, you try to do all kinds of poses and you can't, you are in extreme pain. You can lay on the back, you can lay on your stomach, you can lay on your sides, you can't sit anymore because your bum hurts like crazy. And the lights, you can't even go to sleep, you can't, you know, force yourself even for the time to pass faster. And they did that 30 hours to us. This whole mm-hmm. thing is sick. The whole system is evil, is sick, it's perverted. The good news from all of that is that the Gestapo went home. So the Gestapo wannabe tyrants went home, the gangsters went home, and there was a new shift. And the staff sergeant for that shift, his name is Campbell, with an officer, Daniels, I remember those names, they came and they said, "Well, this is unacceptable. What they're doing to you? Like, I mean, wow, this is crazy." And of course, they knew who we are. We were all over the news for about 3 weeks. Non-stop, every talk show and every TV, we're always talking, so they knew who we were, and they said, "We have to fix this, we have to help you out, and what can we do for you?" And I said, "Come on, I can't even sit anymore, can you bring a pillow or a blanket or a mattress that we can actually sit properly in this cell?" And he says, I'll do my best. So he disappeared, and later on he came back. Unfortunately, he came back with a mattress. But that didn't last very long because we were shortly after transferred to a prison. So now you've got two preachers, one pastor and my brother David, being in prison. And the moment we arrived, we met another set of Gestapo. And I'm not kidding you. Hostility that we saw at the very beginning was unbelievable. They wanted to force us to wear a mask. They said, "We are not going to allow to be here." I said, "Well, fine, then let us go. I'm okay with that." And they throw us into this cell. They call that cell tank. So I just added fish tank, fresh fish in the aquarium. So they threw us to the fish tank. And I'm telling you, here is the bizarre story. We were arrested because we are the super spreaders, even though we're healthy people and our church is filled with healthy people.
Right,
we are the super spreaders, and they're doing this. Okay, listen to this. All of that is being done for our health. Okay, they're doing this to protect us and the rest of the society. And they threw us into the tank. That was the filthiest thing you can imagine. It looked like someone went around and peed all over the floor. Okay, it was sickening.
Were you required to wear masks in there?
They wanted, but we said no. I said, "You gotta kill me. I'm not wearing a muzzle. I'm not a dog. If you want to kill me, then shoot me now or taser me. Whatever you want to do, I'm not wearing a muzzle. I'm a healthy individual, and you do not force healthy individuals to wear a mask unless you're in a hospital protecting people, you know, when they have open wounds or there's viral problems." I mean, I'm not stupid. I think people are really, really stupid these days. They don't understand the concept of why you have to wear a mask. A virus is 1,000 times smaller than a bacteria. A piece of cloth or this blue thing that they force you to wear has no ability whatsoever to stop any virus from coming in and going out. So I'm not wearing a muzzle. That's what it is. You want me to wear a muzzle? I'm not a dog. Put it on your dog or your cat if that's what turns you on. I'm not going to allow you to put that on me. But David, my brother, said the same thing. They were very unhappy. Mm-hmm. And I said, "I need to call my lawyer because that's my right." And they said, "No, we're not going to allow you to call the lawyer." My brother asked them, "We want to call a lawyer." And they said, "No." So they kept us there. Our lawyers were not notified. No one knew where we are. We can't contact our lawyer. Nothing. It's just like total Soviet Union once again, KGB style. We are in a filthy cell. For our own benefit, right? For our own health, we are being thrown into this filthiest thing you can imagine. I got stuck sitting there. Okay. I sat on this bench, of course, no pillows, no blankets, no mattress. And, you know, I felt that I got stuck to the sitting bench. And I'm thinking to my brother, "So look at this. This is insanity. We are here because of health. And look at this filth. If this was because of the Black Plague or leprosy, healthy people, we came as healthy people, we would come out dead."
Right, right. So all under the guise of health, they put you through this, well, hell. I mean, it just sounds like they were torturing you and trying to send a message to basically stop fighting stop holding services and just frankly obey. The fair?
That's exactly what they're doing. Identical tactics to KGB in Poland and of course the Gestapo was using exactly identical way of subduing people. Of course, we know that KGB and the Gestapo went a lot more in depth. They were ripping people's fingers off and beating people's up. You know, we were a little bit roughed up.
Tyranny is progressive, right? I mean, it starts off slow and the government sees what they can get away with. And that's ultimately, I think, what we're seeing. Over time, as you've experienced this whole COVID nightmare, I don't mean the virus, I mean the responses to the virus. We've seen more and more rights getting taken away progressively because they don't see people fighting back. They don't see people speaking up for their rights. And I think until we start seeing that, these governments aren't going to back off. And
no.
So to say that, you know, this is kind of the mild part of what happened in the Soviet Union is fair, because it got progressively worse because, frankly, not enough people wanted to speak up. Well, I don't think you can have communism and have real Christianity. You can't, because they both compete for the Godhead, right? They both want to be God, essentially. You know, Christianity recognizes God, and the state in a communist regime and a tyrannical regime wants to be that God. And there is a historical pattern in that freedom only exists in places where Christians have been fighting for that freedom. I'm glad that you're one of those who's been doing so. I do want to go back to one point. You said that whilst you were incarcerated, you asked to speak to a lawyer, and you were denied. And I've heard also from other sources that your lawyer or lawyers were trying to reach you and were also denied. Is that right? I mean, that can't be legal in Canada.
It's totally illegal. Everything pretty much what was done to me, including my arrest, was unlawful. What they did to us is unlawful. Yep. What they denying us to have access to our representation, that's unlawful. Mm-hmm. Mocking someone's fate, that's unlawful. That's a hate crime. And we were subjected to a hate crime inside of jail that we could not escape. I mean,
who mocked your faith?
The jailers, the Gestapo, we call them with the brother.
Right.
The jailers were having a good time having us there. And one jailer stands up, an officer, and raises his hands and he says, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And he mocks and he laughs at us and he points a finger, kind of mocking our faith and mocking our stance on God. So there was a clear hate crime happening in front of other people, other inmates, and also on camera, because of course the cameras are all over the place, and he mocked, and you know, we were subjected to a hate crime against our faith, and especially me being a clergyman, I was subjected to this treatment, and I had no say, I had no representation, I couldn't contact my lawyer, and all of that was unlawful. Also, the judge, when they transported us to the jail, to the court, they put shackles on our feet, and there we go. We waited about 4 hours to see the lawyers. Finally, we could talk and strategize with the lawyers what we're going to do. We saw the judge. The judge orders our release, and that didn't happen. That didn't happen for 7 hours. They kept us there. And even though the judge says, release them, I'm going to sign the release order, they didn't care about the judge's order. They were fighting back and forth with our lawyers, saying that no, they're not going to release it. It took the lawyers 7 hours. I've heard of jailers laughing at the judge's orders. And they said, whatever. The judge is telling me to do something. Who is this judge? Who he thinks is? So we have this notion that is lawlessness. They think when you're in their custody, they can do to you whatever they want. And they strip searched us. They took our clothes away. They intimidated us. They mocked us. They humiliated us. They even stole my property, my private property. They've stolen from me. And they, in front of me, while I had shackles on my feet and handcuffs, surrounded by the police, they took my personal stuff and they threw it in the garbage. And there was nothing I could do about it. I said, "What are you doing? That's wrong. What's wrong with you?" I said. And he shoved me on the wall. And then he says, "Oh, so we're going to have a problem with you." I said, "No, I have a problem with you because you're breaking the law. You see, they think that you're going to bow just because they can hurt you. And the officers that arrested me, they were roughing me up at the very beginning. And I said, okay, rough me up. So and you think I'm going to bow before you because you can hurt me? Hurt me. That's okay. Taser me. Shoot me. They also said, that's why you will see, you would hear me yelling. When I was on my knees and my hands up, yeah. You can hear me saying, taser me or shoot me. Remember that? I don't know if you picked this up or not.
Yeah, I heard that.
You know why I said that? I didn't want to be over dramatic. They threatened me there. They threatened me that they're going to charge me with resisting arrest. Do you see me resisting arrest on my knees? With, right? So they're liars. They're corrupted, evil gangsters. And when they said that, I couldn't just be silent. So I said, taser me, shoot me dead.
Well, there you have it. The Canadian pastor is a Polish immigrant. His name is Arthur Pawlowski. And it looks like Pawlowski, but I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that right. Arthur Pawlowski. And he has a street church where he's ministering to homeless people. And he has a church that he preaches at. And they did all this crazy, you know, communist stuff to him. And that's coming. He's been warning people and he's talking about this. And he's saying, hey, this is, you know, this is coming to America. This is what the communists do. And it's in Canada. And it's coming to us, and we need to fight back. We need to fight back right now, immediately, and stop. And we need to stop this kind of stuff from happening here. And one of the ways you can do that is by voting, sort of. But ultimately, there's four boxes that preserve liberty. There's the jury box, the ballot box, the soap box, and the cartridge box. And except for the last one, I don't see any of the others working. We haven't got to the last one because most of us don't feel we're ready to do that, or rather that enough others aren't ready to do that. But the courts aren't working. The courts are a joke. The ballot box is a joke, and the soap box is something that doesn't exist anymore, really. So where are you to go in a peaceable means to solve this problem? I don't know. You think about that. Real quick before I wrap up, I wanted to talk a little bit about I Led Three Lives, specifically Herb Philbrick. I was talking to my friend John the other day, and we were talking about how the story just kind of ended. And we never really got any insight into more personal details about Herb Philbrick. I shared a little bit about his family in the last episode. And so I wanted to kind of communicate that to you in the conversation I was having with my friend. And I said that I think, because this is what I would do, I think Herb completely left his family out of the book and out of everything to protect them. Because these communists are evil and they're liars and they're shrewd. And he wanted to protect his family from them. And that's why it's never mentioned that he's even married in the book. And so that's what I think was the reason behind some of that. And then the book just kind of stops, it ends, and then there's no what happened. And I don't know if that's because during the day when it was written, everyone knew the outcome of the trial because that's what they read, those newspapers, or listened to news on the radio. But everyone knew the outcome of the trial. So maybe he just didn't feel he needed to say anything. I don't know. I'd like to thank you for listening. And remember, you were not made to fit in. You were born to stand out. I'm Hank Reardon. This is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you.